My home group is the Next Frontier Group. We meet on Wednesday night at 6:45. I've got my family right there in the third row. And we are finally, suddenly, at step 12. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 89. And it is my absolute pleasure to introduce to you again from Atlanta, Georgia, the beautiful and amazing Leslie Strange.
I need to carry her with me to introduce me to just walking in the Publix. Introducing the fabulous Leslie in the fruit aisle, you know. You are amazing. You make me feel really, really good about myself. And really, those little accolades and those little validations. We get a lot of validations, get a lot of bad press, and we all need that sometimes. I was just talking to Tarek about it. My name is Leslie Strange. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Good morning, beloveds. There's a few of us left. Thank you for being here. My sobriety date is November 2nd, 1988, and that means I have 36 years of continuous sobriety. A lot of relapses and defects and shortcomings and emotional relapses and tears and scraped knees and bumped heads and flesh-eating disease of my magic magnifying mind. And I just made that up because it sounded gross, so. I don't know, you know. But I stayed after I took that one white chip. And at 28 years old, I didn't know that I was what I was in for. I had no clue that I would be standing in front of people on a regular basis and people would have the unmitigated gall to listen to me. I didn't know that you guys had a solution to that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body and spirit. I didn't know that I would meet a lifelong band of friends, good women, good men. I didn't know that I would get all the hugs and all the adoration and love and assurance and a lot of God talk, which for me, I didn't have a problem with the God perspective when I came into the room. In fact, when I was new and I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and I saw the banners and I would see that capital G word. Now, some of you guys might be different, but when I saw the G word and the G word and you were cussing from the podium, you were crying from the podium, I said, I like this group. They cussing, crying, fighting, might be a couple fights in the parking lot, and then but the G word. And then we end it all with a prayer. Ain't that something? Ain't no church gonna do that. Ain't no bar gonna do that. They had a little bit of both, and I liked it. I said, I got to come back. And then the next week, y'all talking to each other and hugging. I said, okay, this is a great family. Yeah. I had no idea that I would settle down from the party, from the nonstop party and the Disco 9000 and the Paradise 24 in Los Angeles and all the big, big clubs where all the big, big stars, even the roller skating rinks, because I came up in the 80s when roller skating at Venice Beach was the deal. I didn't know that being that homeless 18-year-old because I was resistant to the rules of my mother, and she was just getting in the way of my happiness of drink and all those other substances. And then she had the unmitigated gall to put me out of her house. Who puts a girl out? I came into the rooms anguished, angry, mad at the Catholic Church, mad at the priests, mad at my father. Felt like he never came to find me and my brother. My mother left him in the 60s, and I was angry at my mother because she was angry at society because she was a black woman raising two kids. I was scared. I was scared because I didn't fit in with schools, and the girls I went to Catholic high school with, they had brand new cabriolets, cars, remember those cars, and they had the convertible rabbits and the convertible Mustangs, and me and my friends would have to take two buses to get to school and walk a half a mile uphill to get to Notre Dame All Girls Academy in Los Angeles. But my comfort was found with the sense of ease and comfort, like Cliff said, that sense of ease and comfort that comes immediately. By first, it started out with just hitting that nice marijuana and non-addictive. And all we would do is get a headache because it was always cheap dirt weed. And then we'd end up, you know, get a headache and get a bag of Doritos. Nothing's better to a weed head than the munchies. They don't even say that no more. You know what I'm saying? Now the marijuana now is so chemically, and you know, I go back to L.A. all the time. From the time I hit LAX through the airplane windows, I smell weed. It's horrific in L.A. I say, y'all smoking something else. This ain't normal THC when they can control the level. See, I would have been one of them girls right in there in the dispensary talking, I want two of those, three of those. I want some of that bubble gum. They got different names. It's ridiculous. I got a 25-year-old who participates in that, but he's 25. But I know one thing. I told him, son, you know what? If it gets ridiculous, you know where to go. Because he got godmothers and aunties and god sisters and godfathers and stuff in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, because God's grace allowed me to stay disciplined enough, or his mercy, to have my children once I was sober. So they were raised in the room. See, they didn't be in that back corner with their little snacks and their little coloring books, and they might yell a little bit or cry a little bit or something, and you guys tolerated me as I brought those children into the rooms. Mm-hmm. Or one of you older women, you could see me walking holding the baby because I was still nursing, but I had bottles. And one of you older women said, baby, go on, give me the baby, and you come sit up front. See, I didn't know that you guys really meant what you said. Because people have fled from me, died on me, and lied to me so long, I didn't believe that you guys actually did those things unconditionally. I was looking for a bill at the end of your services. But none ever came. You know, in the traditions, it talked about, I have no axes to grind and I have no dues to pay. And that means in all areas of this. You know, I would be amazed when I talked to my sponsees on our sponsee night, and we were talking about being of service. And I was hipping some of the girls to the fact, if your sponsor asked you to come watch her dog, come take her car to the lawn, to the car place, come clean up her house, come babysit her kids, that may not be the person for you, because we do this for fun, sometimes unfun, and for free. I said, so I don't want nobody to put their hand up, because I don't want to hear about it, because then I'm going to want to know who it is that's charging you. And then I'm going to have a third-party resentment, and I don't even know them. So I don't feel like writing right now. Just keep that in mind, ladies. Because, see, I'm a gossip. I like to hear. Then if you... I ain't the only one. Because we're a family that grew up in the rooms together. We show our entire behind high noon on a Sunday in a meeting, and then I got to go back to that meeting. And look, I tell everybody this. Everybody gets a full photograph of their life and their failures. Everybody gets a chance to appear on the grapevine. Showed her behind in a meeting. Had a nervous breakdown when she quit the boyfriend. He came into another meeting with another girl. Everybody's going to get a chance. So, you know, just let go on and take your feature. You know, it's just like being in People. You'll be on the front, and then there'll be another disaster after yours, and you won't be that noticeable anyway. Scoot over, and then there goes one of the guys. Messing with three, four girls in a meeting. I'm just saying, it's just life. I didn't know. I didn't know that King Alcohol was going to be respected by me. And if it hadn't been for King Alcohol and all those other party favors, I wouldn't know nothing about none of this. So I respect it. But I don't play with it. I don't test it. I mean, every now and then for me, every now and then I think, okay, well, maybe I could have a sip of wine. It's nothing better than to see those people at jazz festivals. They're sitting out in the sun, and you got your chair, and you see them passing around a bottle, or they got the champagne bucket, and it's one of those bring-your-own concerts, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And they do it, and here I am with water. And I'm watching the ice, and then it gets magnified. I'm watching the ice slowly melt as it drips down the side of the champagne bottle. And then they've got these plastic glasses with lights flickering in them. Oh, I get this. I get all into it. I'm like, how'd it taste? You didn't even drink all that. You're in my head, you know what I'm saying? How you going to leave a corner? Remember you guys used to call the leftover a corner? How you going to leave that corner? Get that corner, you know. Last, you know what I'm saying? But my sponsor used to say something to me. She used to say, linger long, die you must. Don't play with that too long. I don't care how many sponsors you have. I don't care how many commitments you have, how many steps you work. If you do all the little things, the check marks, the tick marks, the everything I'm supposed to do, I don't care what you have in place. This disease is cunning because it outsmarts you. It's baffling because you end up getting into the middle of the dis-ease and you go, what the heck just happened? How'd I end up here? And it's powerful because it ends up having you do what you didn't think you would ever do. I don't play with it. But I do know I have a power today. See, something I learned early on is that I came into the room powerless, powerless over my thinking and my drinking. I came into the room powerless, not to gain power, but to become power-filled. I'm going to say that again for the back. I said I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous powerless, not to remain powerless, but to become power-filled. Because I've made access, by the time I've gotten to the 12th step, I've had a connection with a power greater than, and I've had these phenomenal shifts. I've had some healing on a cellular level. I don't think y'all understand. It's Sunday morning. I'm getting ready to preach. Y'all get over. Come on. Come on. Come on. See, we heal on a cellular level. We heal and we practice things like radical forgiveness. Radical forgiveness is the kind of forgiveness that I would never speak to him again. Are you kidding me? After he came into my bedroom when I was 14, 13, 12. Are you kidding me? I would never forgive him for that. That radical forgiveness, that freedom beyond anything you would ever know. I can't believe I'm doing this. I even though she talked about me. My sponsor, Betty T, let me give you some 12-step experiences because I'm going to show you the transformation just by being obedient. I hated the word obedient. Because when you were disobedient, that meant there was punishment coming. And that reminded me of that old petty God in the Old Testament. I can't take it. I went to Dominus and Dominus Catholic school. Got to go to confession. I got to sit in there with that white Irish priest in that dark little room feeling like I'm Carrie. They're going to laugh at you. You know, I'm in that little dark room. And then I hear the little door open up. And he's sitting sideways. And bless me. And I said, Father, I stole some pennies from my mom. A purse and I lied to my teacher. It was the same thing because they told me that if I didn't confess my sins in there, I was going to die and burn in hell. And better yet, if I burned in hell and I wasn't forgiven, I would go to this place called purgatory. I don't know if y'all know, and you're going to be sitting in purgatory, and then y'all, I got to wait for y'all here on planet Earth to pray me out of purgatory so I can finally go to heaven, and y'all's ass is taking too long. So now I'm just going to be like, anybody remember 2001, A Space Odyssey? Hell, hell. And you're just floating, turning from a baby to an old man. I mean, it was just horrifying. And that's just the second, third grade. Stay with me. But But when I came into the rooms at Alcoholics Anonymous, you guys didn't have a whole bunch of rules. Now, I sat here and cherry-picked through the steps. And by the way, I'd like to thank all the speakers. Thank you, Cliff. Thank you, John. I love all of you. Thank you, my girl Vivian on her way back, and Steve Lee. I call Steve L. I call Steve Lee a perspective shifter. His mind, the workings of his mind is diabolical, because he says something, I'll be like, wait a minute, he's four sentences down, and I'm still trying to, he said, I never thought about that. Like, I love perspective shifters, because they give me another way to look at something. But by the time you get to step 12, there has been a series of sudden events that has shifted and changed you in such a way. It says in the big book that the newcomer or the new man or the person who's gone through these steps, they won't be able to recognize their changes. We'll see it in you before you see it in yourself. And the reason we get to see it in you, and some of us tell you about what we see. I was just telling Tarek, my baby, I was just telling him how I've seen him grow in the last 5 or 6 years or however long he's been with Ralph. I've seen the ego just shift. What does Ralph say? And more God, less me. And I can't do that on my own. So this is what's so wonderful about Bill and Bob. In the 12th step, it's brotherly love and service. That's how we survive around here. I give you love, and then I be of service. And what I've learned today, I've learned to ask people, what do you need from me? Gino. My beautiful Chrissy came up to me, I'm just going to say in a gentle way, and she said, Leslie, and she's sweating, her hair stuck to her head, and she's looking, and she's breathing hard, and she's looking like I could just see her heart going boom, 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 because she's doing service, and she's been awake and in this front row the whole damn weekend. I'd have been sitting there talking about, can y'all call me when y'all ready on a break, because I couldn't have made it, but I love what you've done. And she came up to me this weekend, let me give you examples, because I'm going to jump around a little bit about different examples of service and brotherly love. And she came to me, she said, Leslie, this is what happened, so we could do this for you, and I just want to let you know that, you know, right now, I ain't going, maybe later. And I looked, I said, what do you need from me? Oh, no, I don't need you doing that. I just wanted to let you know. I said, well, I'll tell you what, keep that, pay it forward, I'm done. Who taught me to reject something like some money? Are you insane? In spite of my seven deadlies, I like step 6 and 7. Thank you, John. I like step 6 and 7 because the whole thing is about 6 and 7. And my defects and my shortcomings are all generated in fear. Let me start from the back. I said, fear is the food that feeds the resentment. Fear is the food that feeds the third column effects. Then you got fear in the fourth column, right? Then I got fear of people, so now I got to go against that fear in the fifth and bring somebody in that stands in the gap that represents God, that I can look in the face and tell them all my demonic stuff, the nastiest, filthiest, ugh, I don't want you in my house, don't touch my couch, you're nasty type of stuff. Yeah, that hit her good. You got some nasty stuff too. You laughed too hard on that one. By herself, she's like, what? Yeah, but that's my kind of girl though. That gut bucket, no you didn't. Ugh. Society would say, ugh, no, don't touch them. No, no, no. That's not what we do here. The sicker you are, the more we love you. And we see you walking in, crawling, sliming in, leaving a snail trail of sludge and nastiness, and we pick you up and we hug you anyway. I love homeless bum men with teeth missing when they come in. Because you get a girl dressed up smelling kind of good, got a wig on straight, got her teeth in, feeling kind of cute with a little fake Chanel on, and I walk up to him and say, come here, bring it in, baby. Because you get a hug, too. And then all what keeps them coming back, I said, when you get 5 years, I'm going to give you something. No, I just... I'm sorry, Ralph. No, I'm not. He would be sitting right here laughing because he knows I'm ridiculous. You know, I'm like, and then I've had him come back and say, hey, got 5 years. I said, that's good. Get five more. I changed the debt, moved it up a little bit. Just five more. Whatever keeps them coming back, girls. I was giving it away for free. At least I'm being of service. You know what I'm saying? Shut up. Don't judge me. I'm horrible. I'm such a hooker. Anyway. So by the time I get into the fear that feeds my seven deadly sins, which are six and seven, because he talks about it. And when you hear the word sin, when I was new, when I heard the word sin, I took me back to Catholic school days. There's that thee, thy, though, thither, beseech thee, henceforth, verily. Here we go again, sin. But sin is just another way of saying my abnormalities, my immorals, the things that something in here, you know, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous says we all intuitively have a God. We have a fundamental idea of God, every man, woman, and child. And when I do something against those spiritual laws, I was talking to my new friend, I was talking about spiritual laws, and it's like any other law, you break it, there's consequences. And if you knowingly break it, stand on it, take that. And don't condemn yourself, just try to do better. And make sure you told somebody what you just did. My sponsor knows everything. She knows my ancestry.com, my DNA. She knows where all the bodies are buried. She knows who all his names are. She knows everything. So now I'm looking at these defects after I do step five with my sponsor, and I get armed with facts about who I am. And not only in the fifth step I'm getting armed, she's telling me who she is as well, and I'm armed with facts about her imperfections. And so we're two imperfect people talking, but it's still a triangle because it's her and then me and then there's God. So there's three of us in there. I always tell my sponsees, I say, you know what? You in my house and you get to sit on my white couch. I have a little white couch, no big deal. And they come to my house and they fly in and they sit on the white couch and they read their fifth steps to me when they're ready. During the pandemic, I was spraying them down like roaches and telling them, okay, go in there, take a shower. And then they would stay in my house for a weekend to read their fifth steps. Girls I never knew. I didn't know them from an animal. I didn't know them from nobody. But y'all taught me. So after I did my fifth step, and I do a fifth step with another girl, and I see the light come on in her eyes. But see, the way that I do a fifth step, by the time you leave me, you got your eighth step list. So you do the fifth step, you got a list of defects and assets, according to the 12 and 12. That's 6 and 7. Then you got the list of who you need to make amends to and who you need to forgive. There's two sides to step 8. I couldn't understand that until I got unblocked. I couldn't be usefully whole because I had to write about my mother for like 10 years straight. I hated her. And I'd go do all the mechanics and do the amends for year after year after year, and she'd do something, she'd end up right back on my list. And one day God allowed me to see what the problem was. In the 12 and 12 on the eighth step, they always start out with, you know what, it's okay to make amends, but did you forgive? Radical forgiveness. You mean I got to forgive? No, I don't walk up to you and say I forgive you because I have no power to be able to forgive you like that. But it's a work between me and God. I got to forgive you if forgiveness is necessary. You don't run around and make amends to the rapist or the child molester, but you have to forgive or at least ask God for the willingness to forgive. See, all these things I'm giving you are instructions that were given to me, and they seem to make sense to me in my soul. And sometimes in the beginning, they don't make sense to me. I'm like, why am I hugging this girl and I know she doesn't like me? Why am I hugging my sponsee sister and she's sleeping with my husband even though I had a boyfriend? That's not the point. You know, why am I? Oh, that's a true story. So my sponsor, Betty T, we're sitting in a meeting and I just find out after I'm having an affair now, all right? And I find out that one of my sponsee sisters is sleeping with my current husband that I'm in the middle of getting ready to break up with. I call my sponsor hot. This is all 12-step related. Listen to this. And she said, well, baby, let's just meet at the home group. Popular meeting. A lot of people in Los Angeles. So I go to the meeting. She said, I'll be sitting in the front where I usually am. I'm always in the front. And I said, okay. And I go and I sit next to her, and I'm just shaking. I'm fussing and stuff. She said, okay, baby. And she pats me on my leg. And in that same door walks the other girl. Tell you what 12-step working with others does. She walks into the door, and Betty motions to tell her to come over here. And she walks over and sits on the other side of Betty. So but now I'm twitching. You know, I'm like, oh. And I can't fight, but I'm like, I'm willing to fight this time. But I'm twitching. I'm double digits in. I'm like 17, 18, 19 years. I'm sponsoring. I'm speaking. I'm doing all this. And Betty said, no, baby, we're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And so I'm twitching. And she says, come on over here and sit with us. And I'm like, uh-uh. So I can't sit still because when I'm disturbed, I got to do something. I need to have a sense of ease and comfort. I had to get up, so I said, okay, I'm going to make an excuse to go to coffee pot because if I sit here too long, I'm going to explode. And I walk up to Betty, and I turn around, and I say to my sponsor, I said, I'm getting ready to go get some coffee. You want some coffee? She said, yes, baby, two equals and one little dab of creamer because I know that's what she always wants. I said, okay. And before I walked off, she says, oh, let's just get ready to go get me some coffee. You want some coffee, too? And this heifer had the nerve to say, yeah, three sugars and two creams. I'm like, I'll spit in it. I can't. So now I'm just totally freaked out, and I'm thinking, what is my sponsor doing? Why isn't she siding with me? Doesn't she understand the pain I'm under? That's the same sponsor that told me to keep calling my ex-husband's cell phone answer machine. And I'm like, what is Betty doing? So I obediently, because see all y'all newcomers that don't be listening to your sponsor and just gotta, then you leave your sponsor and talk about him like a dog. We didn't do that back in the day because I was healthily scared of my sponsor. Because I was scared to do the wrong thing. And so I go and get the coffee, and they're probably half a cup because I'm shaking, I'm hot. And I hand them their coffee and I sit back down. We sit through the meeting, we make it through the meeting, and she would just look straight ahead. With her glasses, I can see her with her glasses sitting on her nose, and we're right by the podium. And when the meeting is over, I'm terrified, I'm horrified, I'm sick to the stomach. And she stands up. We're going to pray out. And she takes our hand, and we're holding hands, and then she steps back, and she joins our hands, and she goes to the other side of one or the other, I can't remember, and she steps back. And she stands on the other side of us. So now she and I, hands are joined. And I can't let him go because there's 200 people in this Saturday night meeting. And Betty T is one of those elder persons that handles people. And we had to say the longest prayer in the universe, which is the Our Father. So I got to hold this heifer's hand for 5 hours and 72 minutes. So when I get home, I'm going to quit my sponsor. That was her 12 step. She says, baby, you're going to learn to love the unlovable. You're going to learn to be of service. In fact, you're going to learn to be an example to the women who are coming after me and coming to you. You're going to learn everything there is about bipolar personality and narcissism and insanity and not taking enough medication but not working the steps too, because alcoholism disguises itself as disgruntled. It disguises itself as bipolar. It disguises itself as neurosis and manic. It disguises itself as having outside issues. It disguises itself as political self-righteousness. It disguises itself as all-knowing. It even disguises itself as God talking to you. So, baby, you need to experience every single thing so that you can tell another woman, yeah, I've been there. So when you get tired or getting mad and you finish writing your inventory on it, because see, by that time, it wasn't about a tenth for me. I needed to go back to four and take her all the way through the columns. See, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to be honest. I'm not good at 10th stepping. I'm not good at it. 11th stepping, whatever you want to call it, Cliff. I'm not good at it. Sometimes I do it, sometimes I got sponsees that do it all the time. But see, what happens if you stay around here, by the time you get to the 12 steps, the numbers done fell off. If you ask me what step I'm on, when I was a first 1 or 2 year, I'd say step 4, step 5. Ask me what step I'm on, I'll say all of them same time. It's about doing the next right thing in spite of it. And what happens is checking off the boxes of, oh, yeah, I did this. That's cool. You need the mechanics in the beginning. But all of a sudden, my default to anger is no longer default to anger. It's automatically, I got to pray for him or her. I got to do the sick man's prayer. I got to do the resentment prayer. I got to do the third step prayer and put your name in it. I got to do the seventh step prayer in some kind of way. God, please help me. See, the 12th step is the testament and the test and the litmus test to see what have you actually learned that's been birthed in your spirit. See, I used to tell my kids, if you can't explain it back to me in your own words, it's not birthed right here in your soul. You can kind of, but if you don't know it enough to tell me to for me to understand, then you don't understand it enough to explain it because you don't have the experience to go with it. See, once I learned a lesson in the room of Alcoholics Anonymous, virtually anything you say to me, I got a story to go with it. And I'm no longer ashamed, and I'm no longer embarrassed, and I'm more than willing to share with you one-on-one what I did. Right, wrong, or indifferent. See, the 12th step is the saving grace. See, it's like that Ferrari I talked about that I gave Steve Lee. He's probably gone riding around. The one that I talked about, you get the Ferrari, you ain't doing the maintenance. See, 10 and 11 and 12 are the maintenance steps. That's the oil change, that's the brake pad change, that's doing the rotors, that's switching out the tires, that's doing all the things to maintain the car. I was with my girl Tish, my sponsee, and we was in her nice little car. She said, girl, I ain't got to do oil change for 5 years or some crazy. I said, what kind of car is this? She said, I don't have to do an oil change, but I'm pretty sure if that car wants an oil change, you don't pay it no attention, how beautiful it is and all the things and dings and whistles and stuff, it will say, a red light will come on and say, you need an Earl change. That was my southern thing. You need an Earl change. You know what I'm saying? So the car is calling for maintenance. My maintenance is to be of service to other people, like what I had been served, I should say. But the cool part about my relationships with both my sponsors that I've had in my lifetime is they know everything about me. Why? Because I'm a willing servant, and I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to call, and I stay in touch. If your relationship with your sponsor is not tight and right, it's probably because you ain't reaching your hand out enough. See, I don't chase you down to give you this. I don't beat you over the head with the big book with submission. I sit politely and wait for you. See, I don't fire sponsees because I need you because you're all golden threads in the tapestry of my life. You are the extension between me and God, because if I help you, I know I'm doing real good. Now let me tell you a secret. Chuck C. said in A New Pair of Glasses, you can't barter with God. See, in the beginning when I was new, I thought if I get a bunch of sponsees, I'm going to get some, you know, I went back to that Catholic mentality. I'm going to get some jewels in my crown. I did this, God, look what I did. Look what I did. Give me some credit so I can be sure not to go to purgatory. I forget, pretty girl. I can't barter with God. I can't do good things because I used to do it for a motive. Now I do it because it's something intuitive about a 12th step and seeing the light come on and something in my soul that yearns for feeling good for other people. I think God built us that way. Don't you feel good when you give a dollar to the man or you pay for somebody's coffee or their meal? I saw a lady behind me and she had a whole bunch of kids and they were jumping all over the car, and she's a black lady and I know she was going crazy, and we was at McDonald's. I never eat McDonald's, but I was driving through for them damn fries, and fries, they need Fries Anonymous. I had to go through the McDonald's and I looked in the rearview mirror and something inside spoke to me, and it wasn't in my head. It was right here in my soul space, and I said, and here, put that toward her and them 95 kids back there. And when I drove off, you know why we want to tell what we did good? And some people have this idea, don't tell nobody because you thin out the blessing. But you know why it feels so good to do right and do by others and help other people and seeing them come in dirty, nasty, confused and all that? You know why it feels good? Because that's the way God built us. We're built for this. And then on top of that, they say that nobody can talk to one of us but one of us. So that day that Bill went to the whatever that house is, I knew that up in there. And of course I had to sit in the chair because I was on the Bill W side. I had to be the black female Bill W. And my girl took pictures and we took the pictures and everything. But Bill had to sit there and talk to Dr. Bob. Because his wife was nagging and that wasn't working. And he knew he had a problem. But until they started comparing notes. And you know, ladies, when we get together, say, girl, you too? You've been married. Cliff said, you guys been married for 150 years. I wanted to immediately talk to her. I'm like, girl, how you do it? Because I can't do 50 minutes. I've been with Ralph 9 years. I'm like, I ain't doing it. I'm sitting right over here. Y'all gone ahead. All y'all, ooh, we done went to 3 weddings in the past 4 months. And I was like, they like, when y'all have done? I said, there's something in me that when I get out of self, when I get out of self-pity, selfishness, self-centeredness, by 1,000,000,000,000 forms of fear. When I get out of that and I've emptied the space for God to come in, then I need to turn and share that experience, strength, and hope with the next lady, hoping that she too can have that aha moment. But my sponsor always said, but you can always, like Cliff was saying, you can always go back to sleep. Let me tell you what going back to sleep is for me. Oh, I'm showing up at the meetings and I'm doing all the things, but I'm going back to sleep because I'm lying and saying I'm going to speak, but I'm really going to speak in tongues at Motel 6 on Highway 74 with the boyfriend. Am I the only one? Okay, yeah, maybe I am. But you know what I'm saying? Got the kids, got the car, got the house, got the husband. I went back to sleep. The defects started taking over. They're all motivated by fear. I don't like him no more, so I'm going to get another him. Because if I don't get somebody, if I don't bridge from man to man, I'm going to be out here by myself. The lies in my head tells me that I believe. The defects are going to be there. The ego is going to be there. But it talks in the big book about ego deflation. It didn't say ego elimination. It said deflation. Lessening. Oh, it's going to grow back. It's going to grow another head. But it's deflated when you admit, ask for forgiveness, ask for guidance. He sends you a sponsor. You get this spiritual aha, now I'm wide awake. And you know the thing about a spiritual awakening, I don't miss anything now. My sponsees, it looks like I'm psychic. They be like, how did you know that? I said, baby, I don't know. I just knew. You will intuitively know how to handle situations and people that baffle you. Something happens and the words come out my mouth. And the only way that you know, the litmus test, the only way that you know that you've learned the lesson is when I can repeat it back to you. And you can get it. And you're sitting there going, ah. And sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Let me give you a few examples of what my 12-step experience has been. I had one sponsee that was messing around on her boyfriend and called me at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And my second son, I was still nursing him. It was 2 in the morning. I got a phone call. She's crying. I hear him yelling in the background. He shot up the house. Now, I knew him and I knew her. See, it's not pretty and it's not what I want to do, it's what I have to do. So my husband and I, we rolled up over there. The police were called. We had to do what we had to do. And I was there for her. 31 years later, we still together, she and I. Oh, she showed her behind. She's called me from Chicago, whispering, "Hey, you awake?" I'm like, "Where are you?" "I'm in Chicago." "What are you doing in Chicago? And why am I whispering with you?" She said, "You know, I had to do a little run." "Oh, so you want to sell some drugs?" She called me from Chicago because she was scared, because she done flew to Chicago with double digits delivering the package. I said, "You've lost your complete..." I can't even say what I said. Y'all know. You see my eye. I was like, "You have lost your entire mind." But I don't shoot my wounded. I don't fire people. I didn't hire them. And if they drift away and they walk away and they want to run this thing on their own or they want to try someone else, I always leave a seat open and available for him, for them, him, her, or it, so that they can come back in and sit down. So when they come back, they say, "Will you still sponsor me?" I use these words exactly. I say, "I didn't move. You did." "Of course I will. But are you willing to do the work?" Don't say anything, more be revealed. Let's see if you have a well-whipped one enough to want to do this work. See, today I've had the party. The DJ has left the building. The disco ball is gone. The club is shut down. The crates of albums are out the building. I had it my way for a long time. Now I am about God. I am a servant. I am a spiritual advisor. I'm a navigator. I'm a mom. I'm all of that. I'm mama bear. I'm whatever they need me to be for them. What can I do for you? I learned that from Al-Anon. For your consideration, may I suggest something to you? And they said things to me that I didn't understand until I got today years old. It's like, "You can't keep it if you can't keep it unless you give it away." Well, I've given away a lot of things, and but you kept it. Yeah, I was able to keep it, but now you get to give away love, and it doubles up your love. It's just something that happens. I have so many sponsees now, I lose count, because my ego says to count how many girls I help, but the God in me says it doesn't matter the count. It's the quality of time that you're able to give each one. See, I'm the girl that gets up in the middle of the night when the baby has to go to the emergency room and I have to come pick you up. I'm the girl that gets up in the middle of the night when your mother's dying and you need to talk to somebody while you sit in the waiting room. I'm the girl that gets up in the middle of the night when the kids aren't acting right or a son goes to jail. I'm the girl that gets up in the middle of the night when you are in so much pain that you can't even do nothing but cry on the phone, and I will sit with you on the phone. I've always wanted that. In fact, that's what I've always needed more than the alcohol and the other party favors, is just someone to rock with me. I just wanted somebody to say it's okay and to stroke my head. My sponsor Betty T would let me lay my head in her lap, and she would console me and say, "Baby, but you're gonna be okay." I always wanted that, and you guys showed me the way to keep that. And the way to keep that is be available for the next woman. I met a woman that I sat in this room with, and I looked her in her eye, and I asked her a few things about herself. And I looked her in her eye, and I said, "You're angry," because I know what anger looks like. And because of my 12-step experience, I have a sixth sense. They talk about being rocketed into the fourth dimension. I'm beyond fourth dimension, because there's more than four dimensions, by the way. So if you want to do some research, look up. But I'm in another galaxy. There really is. See, I'm that kind of inquisitive child of God. I got to find out what dimensions are they. I'm in the fifth dimension, not the group, sixth dimension. So sometimes I get the gift of being able to read your faces. And if I look you in the eye and I read your face enough, I already see the problem. Why? Because I can identify. I can tell who's the angriest person in the room. And I can tell because there's nothing more than fear. And the thing I have to show you is I'm not scared of you. I can't force this on you, but I can give you so much love. You'll never forget that girl named Leslie Strange that gave me some kindness and attention. So I told that woman, I said, I see anger in you. No wonder you ain't did nothing. See, the reason why I stay on top of my spiritual maintenance and I stay prayed up is because I don't know when God's going to call me to use me. See, if you stay ready, it's an old rap song. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So I'm always ready. See, I'm always ready. I'm always looking around. My head is on a swivel, and I'm always aware and looking around for someone who looks like they're in distress. You know, it's nothing worse than to have a mate. You ever have Cliff, and you're trying to talk to him, and you can tell he ain't paying no attention to you? Ralph does that to me all the time. And then he'll ask me the same question. Yeah, I put you on tape. He'll ask me the same question that I just told him. I said, you weren't listening. You weren't paying attention. See, when you're not paying attention and you're not God aware and you're not God awake, you miss some stuff. Ooh, you miss some good stuff. So by paying attention, nobody was in this room. Nobody was in this room. I was sitting right there. She was sitting right there. We were having a conversation. And I saw some things that were similar. I said, girl, you need to do this and you need to do that. And, of course, I did the whole, yeah, oh, no, ooh, you done lost your mind. Something wrong with you. And I just picked it. I said, go outside with me so I can. Unfortunately, I still smoke, but that's why I said, let's go outside. So I said, go to sit down on a little brick wall thing over there outside. And she steps over. She, oh, this is my daughter calling. And she takes the phone and she picks up the phone. And now here, say a few things. I'm not paying attention. And then she comes back and she says these words. My daughter's grandmother passed away. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Because the way she said it. And then she paused and said, my mother. Remember when I was talking on 4 and 5, when I'm in trouble, I don't say, oh, higher power, or oh, Buddha, or oh, Allah, or oh, anything. My thing is always, oh, my God. Oh, God, please help me. And she went on a rant, and all she could say is, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And for an hour plus, I heard, oh, my God. And she looked at me, and she was so broken, and her eyes were dripping, and I'm looking at her. I said, I know, baby. I know. And it took me back to the time where I lost my mother. So because I went through that experience in recovery, I've had 2 husbands, 2 divorces, 2 children, couple of affairs, 3 or 4 houses, 4, 5, 17 jobs, some layoffs, all these things. So what it looks like, my doom and my debits and my horrific things that happen are going to be tools that I can use to somebody else so I can invite them to the God idea. That's what it's all for. It ain't about me no more. I had my time. But the blessing about this program is by giving it away, I get to have a ball while I'm giving it away. So I'm win-win anyway. I'm a win-win anyway. Not only am I sponsored, I sponsor. It's nothing better to be called great, 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 great grand sponsor. It's amazing. I'll be like, I'm not that old, but damn, it's wonderful when girls are excited to meet you. Oh, it's you, because my sponsor is so-and-so and so-and-so that knows so-and-so. And it's just to be able to see how the lifeline of God reaches out so far. So this young lady's outside, and she's crying in here, and then she's just all mixed up. And she says, what are you doing here? I say, you'll never forget this day. You'll never forget this moment. You'll never forget me, and I'm going to sponsor your ass. Now what you going to do? I don't do that. I don't volunteer myself like that. But that's the gifts of this recovery, because I'm sitting right here, the divine timing. She wasn't even coming. I was supposed to come and speak. I was supposed to come with a sponsee. Nothing happened the way it was supposed to, but then it all happened the way it was supposed to, because I'm an attraction. Not a promoter. If I didn't say nothing from this podium, I used to travel with Ralph, and they all thought I was Al-Anon. Believe it or not, I wouldn't say a word. Me. Shut up. Don't judge me. And then when they started discovering how much time I had, and Ralph said, yeah, she talks too. And I said, yeah, I got to speak a little bit, something like that. All of a sudden, the floodgates came open during the 2020 debacle, and all of a sudden, I'm on planes by myself going to cities I would never go to, like Bismarck, North Dakota. Black people don't belong in Bismarck. It was cold as Alaska. I said, they don't lost their damn. And then the boy get off the plane with flip-flops and shorts. I wanted to shoot him. But my God says, who will go? And I say, here am I. Send me. I ask God, what is his will for me? And I'm not telling you about the story about this girl that lost her mother yesterday just to get some kudos and congratulations. I already felt good. That's good enough. But I told her something that made her feel warm and cozy. First of all, she'll never forget me. She'll never forget this moment. And then I told her something. I said, I love you. And you stuck with my ass. You stuck. Unless you don't want to be stuck, and I'm going to still love you anyway. This program, and I don't have much time because I know y'all ready to go. This program... it's phenomenal. The reason why some of you listen with intensity, it's not what I'm saying. It's the power. It's the electric. It's the energy. You feel that? Did you feel that? You feel that? What is that? It's that thing. It's it. It's something. It is no thing. It is the one with no name. Is the one I can't pronounce. It's the one that I can call it, her, them, they, whatever I want to. It is the vortex. It is the divine. It is the energy. It is the lights. It is the brightness. It is all of those things. It is suddenly. See, all my life I've been searching all over the planet to fit in and to feel. For me, it is a hole in my soul. It is a hole in my soul. Because the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous told me if I let go of my alcohol and I let go of those things, I'll be like a donut. I'll be like the hole in a donut. What I'm going to do? Who has fun without a drink and a sex partner and swinging from chandeliers? How I'm going to have fun? And you telling me, I done tried a square peg, a triangle peg, all these different things to fill that hole that's in a circle that's in my soul. I've tried every imaginable remedy. I've gone from dark liquor to white liquor. I've gone from boy to boy to boy. I done gone from house to house to house. I done made geographics. I changed jobs because they ain't true. I've done everything that I can to fill that missing thing. And I think God had that thing missing so that he's waiting for me to say, please help. Help me, oh my God. Feel this right here. I done tried everything. I tried church. I tried psychiatry. I tried yoga. I tried gym. I tried fruit drinks and protein drinks. I done tried meditation. I done tried levitation. I can't do nothing else. And then here you guys are like, hey, it's something. And my friend was outside and she was massaging this right here. And the power and the spirit in me, I knew what that meant. And all she could say is, oh my God. And the best thing that I heard my baby say, what do I do now? She said, what do I do? Do I stay here? I said, you don't do nothing.
At that moment, there was such an open door of willingness. I could have told her to do the electric slide, the cha-cha slide, where them fans at? I could have had her do anything, and she would have been willing because the pain was so great. There was unfinished business. And that was divine order. If you sleep, you'll miss the call. What? Thank God for modem to modem today. And I'm going to bring her into the family. And I got a family of girls that are hugging her and love on her and treat her the way she needs to be treated, because no alcoholic should be left alone. If you guys have a home group and you look in the left back far corner and there's that one woman sitting there, I have a sponsee that I met her today that her twin daughter died, and here it is 32 years later and we're like this. And that's all she says. Leslie met me when my twin daughter had died, and I had one day. Do you know why? I don't know when I'm going to go, and I don't know how I'm going to go, but I pray that I go and I represent this fellowship, my mother, my sponsors, and God. I hope my children are proud of who their mother turned out to be. I hope that you guys remember that there was a girl, a little black girl from Los Angeles, California, that told her truth and was able to reach out and help somebody and spoke the language of the heart. She might have did a lot of cussing, but you understood what the hell she meant. And I told this young lady, I said, your mom just passed the baton to me so we can fix whatever was broken before she left. Let's get to going. Ralph White likes to say this. He said, you can always change your history. Did you know you could change your history in 12-step work? You can help people change their history. You know what you get to do? Make them write about it, and their perspective will shift, and they'll see their mothers, and they'll see all the stuff that mom did and grandmama did. Polly P, bless her heart, she used to always say, if you want to know what was up with your mom and daddy, find out, especially your mama, find out how her people were before her. And all of a sudden, you'll discover why she was like she was. And that'll soften that hard space in your soul, that hole in your soul of resentment and non-forgiveness, and you'll say, Mom, I forgive you because your mama beat you too, and the mama before that beat you too, and the mama before that beat you too. I understand today. Compassion, understanding, loving kindness, unconditional love, power. I love being a girl. Power, girls. Power. Rewrite that history by letting go of that resentment and then passing it on. The 12 steps are the blueprint to peace. The 12 steps are the blueprint to a relationship with God and a relationship with people. The 12 steps are a blueprint to freedom. Get to the point in the steps where they become the default and automatic. Now I know I'm not so quick to get mad at you, because I remember when I was you. I'm not so quick not to forgive you, because I remember when y'all forgave me for stealing the treasury money in the Monday night meeting. Oh, did I say that? Yeah, I remember when y'all forgave me. When I did those egregious things and you were able to sit and watch. But I always came up shining because God was shining for me. So what you hear is the power of the 12 steps. Not only am I sponsored, I am sponsoring. And so on, and so on. Can't help but win. If we are painstaking, they didn't say we were happy, joyous, and free right then. They said, if you are painstaking about this phase of your, you will be amazed before. Y'all know the rest. I thank God for these 12 steps, and I will never not sponsor, and I will never not be sponsored. I don't have this thing down like that, but what I do know, damn it, I know. Now, next week, you might be able to erase this whole tape because it might be a whole different shift, but I'm here for you. I love you, and I don't want nothing from you because ain't nothing you could do for me. My name is Leslie Strange, and I'm a recovering alcoholic.